wanna be down with the king.
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with RJ, and off we go. And boy, you want to talk about two of the ugliest innings that the Astros, within a week, within 4 days, they had two of the ugliest innings I think I've ever seen from them. First, the Fromber inning, where they get a hit that's a swing and bunt right in front of the plate that scores a run, then a pass ball, then a wild pitch. And then last night, holy crap, what a terrible, terrible, terrible inning. First, it starts with a ground out to third. Then you got a walk. And how many well, Luis Garcia, boy, was he good after that first inning, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh.
He was the same way against, I think it was Seattle, where he got rocked. This is like 3 weeks ago, where he got rocked in the first, gave up a bunch of home runs, and then actually locked in and pitched well.
Yeah.
That's one of the things he's shown, is he can self-correct or not allow a bad start.
Well, he just got to start better, though. Three walks in the first. And yeah, and luckily he got Trout to strike out, but otherwise it could have been a lot worse. But in the seventh, so Maton comes in after Garcia was just awesome. He mowed him down. It was like every inning was bam, 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 beat it, beat it, beat it, beat it. But he got, you know, threw so many pitches in that first inning that he got his pitch count up. Maton comes in, and boy, well, it ain't all on him. First of all, he throws one. Stassi could have been a double play, but Maton throws it away. Mm-hmm. Then Villar hits it to Bregman.
Well, hold on. I'm just going to read. Here's the play-by-play. It reads about like you want it to read. I was wondering if it reads like that. Here's what it looks like. Ready? Maton pitching for Houston. Houston 5, L.A.
1.
L.A. Angels 1. Walsh grounded out to third. Okay, got one out. Everything's good. Ringifo. Yeah, Ringifo walks. Stassi grounded into fielder's choice to pitcher. Ringifo's safe at second on throwing error by pitcher Maton. VR grounded into, by the way, this is just a bunch of former Astros. VR grounded into fielder's choice
it's
to
all
third.
All Astros right
That's
now.
That's all
on
it
the
is
field.
Right now.
That's all there is.
VR grounded into fielder's choice to third. Stassi safe at second on throwing error by third baseman Bregman. Ringifo to third. Marsh hit by pitch. Ringifo scored. Three of those are on Maton. The walk, the initial walk, the throwing error, and the hit
He's
by pitch.
Struggling right now.
Yeah, and the hit
he
by
really
pitch.
He really is struggling.
Okay.
And but to Dusty's credit, he said, okay, I've seen enough.
I've seen enough, yeah. Montero pitching for Houston. All right. We're at 5-2 right now. Stefanik struck out swinging. All right, we got two outs. We're going to get out of this thing 5-2. McKinnon singled to left. Stassi scored. VR scored. McKinnon to second. Marsh to third. Okay. That's now 5-4. Let's see. Otani walked. No. Wait. Oh, yeah. Marsh scored. McKinnon to third. Pass ball by Maldonado. So then you have a pass ball, which is an error.
Another pass ball.
So really, the third mistake, a pass ball, two throwing errors,
a
hit by pitch, two walks, because Otani also was walked.
Oh, yeah.
And Otani was walked as well. It was a mess.
That was I think that one was worse than Saturday's inning. I'm pretty sure that was worse than Saturday's inning. And but the good news is that you bounce back. Now, you could have, I mean, it's 5-5. You're probably like, oh, my gosh, we have a 5-1 win. We're throwing the ball all over the place. We're walking guys. We're hitting guys. Pass ball. Holy crap. Is this awful? Can this get any worse? And yet Tucker bails you out.
The only thing that, just to be a little picky, you got to put more up than one run in that situation. Altuve walked, and then Aledmys Diaz got a base hit. Tucker had the double, which scored the run 6-5, and then Bregman was walked. So you got, you know, you got bases juiced,
but
and then Gurriel popped up.
Well, but But Yuli's not that same guy this year.
No.
He's just not.
No.
And it's a time and time and time and time again that he's up because in a critical situation and he doesn't come through.
Yuli popped up. Pena popped up to short. And Maticevic struck out swinging. You got to put,
for future reference,
you need to put more on the board when you get that opportunity. That was top of the night. They ended up, Presley ended up doing his job. I mean, man, he's doing his job right now.
Are you going to give it up for him?
No, he's doing his job. Just did. He's doing his job right now.
His job. He's been dominant.
I don't need to, he's doing his job, and his job is to shut the door, and that's what he's doing right now.
Yeah.
And he's been doing it here for a few innings, too, like for a few appearances.
This is a really nice stretch.
Five straight appearances or six straight appearances where he's been really good. I think it might be five, but it might be up to six now. But I just know this. Phil Maton, I'm struggling to find good appearances from him.
No, Maton is really struggling.
I mean, I'm struggling to find good appearances from him at all outside of the postseason. And that was, I just think the Astros as an organization cannot hang their hat on, hey, this guy was good versus the White Sox and the Red Sox in a matter of, in a 11 to 12 game range. Because he wasn't good in if I remember correctly, he wasn't good in the...
Here is Presley since the Yankee game where he pitched a third of an inning and gave up four earned runs. Mm-hmm. Then he pitched against the Yankees in one inning, two strikeouts, no hits. Then against the Mets, one inning, no hits, one strikeout. Then against the Yankees, one inning, no hits, two strikeouts. Then against the Angels, one inning, no hits, three strikeouts. Kansas City, one inning, no hits, one strikeout. Angels, one inning, no hits, two strikeouts.
Okay, I take it back. That is dominant.
That's six straight. And that's what I want
for my closer. Now, that is what I want for my closer. And a guy, not these, I'm up three, I'll give up two, safe. Well, I'm, a bunch of fly balls. I'll load the bases and fly balls to the wall. No one's even reaching base.
No.
That's a closer.
Yep. Yeah.
Don't let anyone even on base shut the door, strangle the life out of them.
15 pitches, 13 pitches, 18 pitches, 13 pitches, 10 pitches, runs. 15
and
pitches.
That's what I believe a great closer is.
Yeah.
Is a guy who doesn't give you any breathing room. Too many times Presley has given up breathing room, but I'll tell you this, his stuff looks great right now. He's throwing strikes, and man, when he gets to two strikes, he's got his wipeout pitches are really on point right now. No, hey, great job by Ryan Presley right now. Press is really in, and he has been dominant. Maton is just a guy that I think is going to, you look at his numbers. I mean, in three of his five appearances, he has allowed runs. Now, four runs allowed, people might, none of them were earned. Come on, dude. That was all on Phil Maton yesterday. Phil created his own. I mean, Bregman didn't help,
but Phil Maton created his
some of those runs came in because of mistakes made by Bregman and also obviously the pass ball. But Maton stunk yesterday.
Yep.
Maton stunk yesterday. And Phil Maton right now gets a lot of calls. I would rather just based on stuff, I'd rather see Seth Martinez get more looks than Maton. I really would,
This is when you want to see Seth Martinez, so you know that he hasn't really used him in high leverage situations against good teams. He came in against the Yankees and he got that loss because of in extra innings. He pitched to Judge when he probably shouldn't have pitched to Judge. But I would love to see Martinez, in a big game situation. Not that there are any. I mean, it's hard right now. What's a big game? The Angels. Now, this was a nice win because you did have that sloppy inning, and you could have been down. You bounced back. Kyle Tucker saved you in the ninth inning with the hit to score the run, and this could have easily been a loss.
No, you overcame adversity, and that's I love seeing that. I love seeing the team face adversity, overcome adversity, and turn it into wins. Too many times we've seen Houston sports franchises, and I don't compare the Astros to former teams anymore, because they've just proven it time and time and time and time again. So I don't, you know, we are used to seeing, as Houston sports fans, a team give up a lead, and then a lot of times it's actually a Texans move over the last 20 years, and then, you know, Oilers before them, where you give up what looks like should be an easy win. It's self-inflicted. You don't overcome it. Another team gets momentum, and they end up beating you. It didn't happen here. You had all the mistakes that we talked about, and yet when it needed to happen, you had Altuve drill walk. You had Diaz, who's been swinging an aggressive bat lately. You had him with a base hit, and then Kyle Tucker did what he did, which is, you know, make big things happen. And so you have to, you know, you have to give credit. We'll talk about the little things that happened during the game, but the reality is Houston showed again that when the going gets tough, they do have the mental toughness to overcome.
No, absolutely.
And overcoming adversity is it's a must to win in the postseason. There's a reason the Astros have gotten to the ALCS five times in the last 5 years, three World Series, because they overcome adversity. That's part of the DNA of this club, with guys like Altuve, Bregman, now Tucker, Correa at one point, Georgie at one point, but now the pitching staff, Uncle Mike. I mean, their DNA is overcoming adversity.
Absolutely.
That's baked into who they are, which is the reason that they are so good for such a window right now, because you cannot get to a World Series unless you overcome adversity.
So yeah, this is a game that last night the Yankees were home against the Reds. The Yankees got beat by the Reds at home. How far out do you think the Astros are right now?
Aren't they like 3.5?
3.5 today. Yeah. 3.5 games out of the best record. And don't tell me it ain't important. It is. And you know what? You got the Yankees coming back from, and that's a day-night doubleheader on Thursday after the All-Star game. Dude, that's a must see.
Very important.
Very important. That's going to be awesome. That is going to be awesome. And you know what? You get through these dog days right before the All-Star break against crappy teams like the Angels and the A's, and you just get to the All-Star break, you take a deep breath, you get as close as you possibly can to the Yankees. The Yankees were running away. The Yankees were being compared to the Mariners' 116th game win, team, and it was like, oh, this is the best team ever. Look at, and teams that start, Yankees teams that start like that, they always win the World Series and blah, 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 blah. Well, guess what? The Astros are right on their heels. They made them look bad earlier, just a few weeks ago, and now here they are, and coming out of the All-Star break, this is fun. This is good, clean fun. And the Astros were able to that's just a gut-it-out win. That is just a gut-it-out win. That's fun. That's good stuff. 713 ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. Some Texans news coming out yesterday. Some Texans news. New helmets.
That's the most, honestly, I couldn't ask for more exciting news as somebody who aggressively is calling for a rebrand. You couldn't have told me anything about your roster that would have been more exciting than a new helmet that actually doesn't suck.
Well, there is a roster thing that we'll talk about as well. We'll go down the other side. But first, we got some Kinetics to talk about.
We got QC Kinetics. QC Kinetics is biological therapy. It's all natural. Here's what QC Kinetics is. QC Kinetics is a company who a lot of professional athletes who are looking for the very best types of, you know, the very best types of medicines and the very best types of recovery. This is what they are using, and here's why. It doesn't require those steroid shots, doesn't require downtime, doesn't require drugs or, you know, a surgery to replace this or that. If you've got a hip issue, a knee issue, a back issue, a shoulder issue, these are issues that can become chronic with chronic pain problems that not only limit your mobility, but limit your ability to just get through the day without being in pain. The great thing is, with regenerative, restorative medicine, like biological therapies from QC Kinetics, they start to heal the tissue. They start to regrow and regenerate tissue by taking your growth properties, highly concentrating them, and they put them back in the joints. And what happens is it starts to regrow and regenerate tissue. It's something that has been highly successful for a number of people, not just pro athletes, but also for a number of people. And you can go read up, you can Google it yourself and go find out the patient satisfaction numbers. It's really impressive. Don't be that person who has to just live with pain for the rest of your life. There is an alternative to shots, downtime, even surgeries, and that is QC Kinetics. Remarkable treatments increase mobility, decrease pain, and help restore the tissue. 713-913-5285. That's 713-913-5285. That's QC Kinetics.
ESPN 97.5. Godfather of Houston Sports Radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst, you found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Welcome back, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Okay, first of all, now Mike Florio, he just...
Talking a little hockey right now.
Yeah, we were talking some hockey. Lance doesn't know much about it. He didn't know anything about
hockey. No, I didn't know anything about this goalkeeper that John showed me, and I know more about hockey now.
Yeah, you know hockey now.
More hockey talk.
So he's just throwing it out there. But Florio said, I got a hunch, Jimmy Garoppolo to the Texans. I just don't understand. People don't understand, I don't think, this team. Okay, that he says, well, they were patient with the Deshaun situation. They're being patient now. You know, even the Panthers said, hey, if the Browns would have done it on draft day, they could have gotten a lot more for Baker Mayfield from us. Nick Caserio has been very calm, very patient, doing a nice job, building this program slowly, doing all of that. Jimmy Garoppolo is not the answer here. Jimmy Garoppolo why in the world would you? Now, Jimmy Garoppolo wins football games. Let's not make no doubt about it. He had a great defense. He's had great defenses that have got him, that helped him get there. But he got to the Super Bowl. He got to the NFC Championship game. Jimmy Garoppolo can play. But the Texans don't need Jimmy Garoppolo, period, exclamation point. They've got to find out whether or not this guy is the guy who you got on the cheap, who can – listen, if I told you that Davis Mills was Jimmy Garoppolo was his ceiling, what would you say?
He's a cheaper Jimmy Garoppolo.
Then he's a cheaper Jimmy Garoppolo, exactly. A lot cheaper. Mm-hmm. Why would you do that?
Why would you get the expensive one?
Yeah.
Well, okay, I'll play devil's advocate here. I'm not necessarily, this is not me, but this is why there could be something to this. And I would have said no, but the more I think about it, you know what, there is a chance, and here's why. You could get Jimmy Garoppolo, and you may be able to have the San Francisco pay off a chunk of his salary, number one. The return for a Jimmy Garoppolo as a backup quarterback, because who's your backup right now?
Kyle Allen.
Right, stinks. So, no offense, Kyle. But that's not I don't think that's a – well, you're not a good football team. But you could say, yeah, you know what? For a sixth, we'll take Jimmy Garoppolo. For a fifth, we'll take Jimmy Garoppolo as our backup. And you know what? We'll watch him in camp. And if we believe Jimmy has something left, because he's not old for a quarterback, if we believe he has something left, we may want to look at him as opposed to what's going to be available to us at quarterback. So maybe if it doesn't work out with Davis Mills, if he has a bad year this year, we've got Jimmy Garoppolo, who we know is battle-tested.
Do you want that in your life? Do you want that?
I don't think it really matters, because I don't think, to me, that's not a guy who people are going to pine for enough to scream for Jimmy Garoppolo. I don't think it causes problems.
I think they would. If Davis Mills struggled, you got a guy who been to the Super Bowl. You got a guy who was just in the NFC Championship.
But if Davis Mills struggles to the point that he should be pulled out, you should. And then you go with Jimmy Garoppolo if you want a chance to win. Davis Mills hasn't done anything to prove himself yet in the league. Once again, I'm kind of doing this as devil's advocate. But what I'm saying is, let's say Davis Mills is not the guy. Jimmy Garoppolo, once again, devil's advocate, Jimmy Garoppolo would be a guy who has NFL experience, you know, can step in and be an NFL starter. I would argue, you know, my counter to that is that's a ceiling that's already been, you already know what the ceiling is. That's not who you want to be as the Texans. Now, to counter argue that, you say, yeah, but you know what, for the next 3 years, while you look for a quarterback and you don't rush it and you don't try to, you know, draft somebody you don't think is ready, you'll have a guy like Jimmy Garoppolo if Davis Mills doesn't work out, or you'll have a legitimate competition between the two. I don't think it's outrageous. I could see that based on the Baker Mayfield deal, which is you pay a bunch of this money and we give you very little in return as a draft pick, and we got a backup. Now, I just think that, because if you want to develop, I don't think there would be as much buzz. I'll give you an example. If the Texans brought in, if they drafted Malik Willis, okay? You have Malik Willis on the bench, or you have Jimmy Garoppolo on the bench. Who do you think Texans fans are cheering for louder to come in, Malik Willis or Jimmy Garoppolo?
Malik Willis.
Malik Willis, he's never even played.
Yeah.
Never even played. But he's the one that's going to have everyone. He's the one that people will want Malik Willis ahead of Davis Mills. I think there's a lot of Texans fans who, even if you brought in Jimmy Garoppolo, they'd still like, rather see what Davis Mills does.
Okay, so but you're
I'm just kind of making
you're, a well, but you're assuming that Jimmy Garoppolo is going to come in here and be a good soldier and say, yeah,
right.
You know what? I should back up Davis Mills.
Right, right. And maybe you have an open competition for it. Maybe Davis Mills isn't given that. I think, you know, what we already know is, more than likely, this is Davis Mills.
I think that's exactly why you don't do it.
More than
because you want Davis Mills to go, and you want to find out about Davis Mills.
The reality is, there's never been a better time right now. There's no pressure to do anything other than grow and expand and get better and build your franchise. Now's the perfect time to play a Davis Mills. That's the reality of the situation. Yeah. That's why I would argue against, you know, having an open competition with a guy like Jimmy Garoppolo and Davis Mills, is because when have you ever been in a better position to just let a kid learn, play, get through adversity, face tough times, overcome, have some good games, have some bad games? Now, the expectations are low. You're not ready to win at a high level at all. Now is the best time. You don't get these opportunities often, and now I would argue is the best time. That's why I would, if you made a deal, it has to be with the idea of, we don't care what fans say, we don't care what anyone says, we are still, Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be an expensive backup while we look at Davis Mills. Now, Davis Mills may not get more than this year. That's also the reason.
No, that's a real that's a real possibility. But Jimmy Garoppolo is a free agent after this season. Sure, you see what you got, but you could see what you got with Jimmy Garoppolo after this season is over anyway. You can bring him in.
Well, let me argue one of the things the Texans, here's why I would consider doing it. I'm going to tell you a little trick here, because I saw teams doing it and I got hip to this trick. Here's why you would do it. You think Jimmy Garoppolo is going to get a pretty good contract?
After this? Yeah. Probably not.
I think he is. I think he'll get $20 million a year.
He'll be a
starter.
Oh, well.
I think he'll be a starter from Carolina, you know.
Possibly.
Who knows? Somebody like that.
Why didn't they do this?
Here's why I would tell you this. Here's why the Texans could do this. They trade a fifth rounder for Jimmy Garoppolo, okay? They rent him. You get San Francisco. Now, listen to this. This is kind of slick.
Compensation?
You get a third-round compensatory pick based on the contract Jimmy's probably going to get.
Yeah.
A fourth. Worse. Now, you have to lose more than you sign.
Yeah, right.
So you have to be willing to play that game. But you could literally rent Jimmy Garoppolo for a fifth and pick up either a third or a fourth for him. Probably a fourth. As long as you lose more than you sign. Some teams actually will do that at the trade deadline, trade for a player they know is going to leave just because they know that they're basically renting them for free. They'll trade a six for them, and then know they'll get a six for them because they already have in their mind with their cap guy, okay, we're going to lose this many, and let's just only sign this many. Because the Texans have a lot of draft picks. So the Texans can fill up their roster with draft picks. So one of the things they could do is, if Jimmy Garoppolo, because he's a quarterback, ends up getting a good contract, he could be worth as a third or a fourth round pick, and you might give up only a fifth or sixth, have somebody else pay most of the freight. They may look at it as a compensatory pick game. So just something to keep your eyes on, because they're more than likely, worst case scenario, they get him for free this year.
Yeah.
As long as they are willing to play the comp pick game.
Yeah.
Just something to consider.
Well, his base salary this year is $24.2 million.
Well, you have to have
how much
San Francisco pick up? I mean, a minimum of 12, I would think.
14?
Yeah, and you don't have enough to fade 12. Yeah,
no.
Actually, you don't have enough to fade.
Yeah, no. I don't even want to mess with this. I don't want to mess with this. I don't care what compensatory. I don't care.
You'd have to trade them a player.
I want to see. You know what? I'm really looking forward to seeing what Davis Mills has.
You'd have to trade them one or two players. You'd have to say you pick up that amount of money, and then we still got to empty out some of our pay scale here just to take him in. So, yeah, Florio, everyone's in a big hurry to place quarterbacks, and where is Baker going? Where is Jimmy going?
I don't think Jimmy's going anywhere, if you want to know the truth.
He may not. I mean, look how late we are. Salary cap spots are figured out. If you're San Francisco, your best case scenario is hanging on to him and
you got
waiting for injury.
Yeah, you got insurance.
Waiting for injury. Oh, Colts have an injury with Matt Ryan, Jimmy Garoppolo.
Oh, Jimmy doesn't want to play for you because he's going to be a backup this year to Trey Lance? Okay, well, then you don't get
Titans
your 24
have an injury.
Million.
Titans have an injury, Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah.
You call. You know, it's there's a lot of teams like that.
Well, but won't they be calling for Malik Willis?
Yeah, but Malik's probably not going to be ready.
Yeah.
Yep. That's the thing, and Jimmy would be a one-year rental.
Yep, 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 yep. All right, well, and we also got red helmets to talk about, and we got the rumor that is out there that came out yesterday about Deshaun and 4-6. 4-6. Holy crap. Let's talk about that on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I'm talking about the Morley Law Firm, and I'm bringing in Carlos Silva. Carlos Silva, good friend. And Morley Law Firm advocate right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Carlos, what's up?
Hey, John, how are you doing today? Everything good?
Everything's awesome. What about at the Morley Law Firm? How are we doing?
I'm telling you, man, we are working diligently to get immigration problems, accident cases, industrial injury. We're working hard to answer any legal question that someone might have out there, medical malpractice. You call it criminal activity, give us a call. We'll find an answer for you and a solution.
Yeah, if you're wrongly, even if you're, you know what, even if you did it, you need representation, right?
Absolutely. You need representation. You need somebody that can give you the right answers and go in and fight for you like a Marine would.
That's right. And you know what? This immigration thing is a big problem. If you have workers, you're listening to this show, you have workers, and you think that they're facing, if they're facing any kind of problems, say habla español, these guys are doing it. There are a lot of law firms that don't handle immigration like this, right?
That's absolutely correct, but we'll do it. No matter the answer, no matter the question, no matter the solution, we will find it.
713-839-9955. Make the call. Morley Law. 713-839-9955 or Morley Law, MorleyLaw.com. That's Carlos Silva, my man.
Thanks, John.
ESPN 97.5. The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst, you found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So, yesterday, some reporter, who was it? Reporter from Cleveland, who was it? Do you know?
Mary Jo
Cabot? No.
I don't
know. It wasn't Mary Kay Cabot. It was some guy.
BSAC Sports?
It wasn't BSAC Sports, per se. It was, I forget. Anyway, he is a reputable reporter. He said he's hearing 4-6 games for Deshaun Watson. I think if Sue, and now I'm pretty sure Sue Robinson ain't leaking anything to any Cleveland reporter. But maybe she's talking to the both sides, and maybe 4-6 came out in some way, shape, or form. If 4-6 comes out, what does Roger Goodell do? If she decides it's going to be 4-6 games.
I think the appellate process begins.
Yes. I think he's going to say, uh-uh. Makes him look really good, because 4-6 games makes the league look bad.
Mm-hmm. Well, after everything that's been out there and
yeah,
everything that's been discussed, yeah, I think the expectations are much more, and I think the argument could be made, look at this, NFL, this is, although it wouldn't be, it's not the NFL's ruling, that would be Sue Robinson's ruling.
Well, Sue Robinson might be looking at how the NFL handled Robert Kraft and saying, mm-hmm. You know what?
Well, we had people say that that's their best hope is you try to equate the two. One is, I don't think 24 cases and one consensual? Because obviously they're very different, but one is a consensual. It was consensual prostitution is what it was. And the other one is there are people saying we did not consent to this. Right. We are not sex workers. And,
but the NFL also didn't use any force. They also, with Sue Robinson, did not make any case that there was forced sexual behavior. So that's kind of a big deal.
Well, and the argument could be made, you know, the argument that the, you know, the we were told the best case scenario for Deshaun's side is that they say, well, hey, look at this. Like, this is what happened to this owner or that owner. And obviously the cases are very different when you just look at what the charges are and what happened. But you're looking for legal precedent. That's how you're trying to win, is you're trying to say this is precedent. Anytime it deals with the law. And so, you know, you would also go to, okay, Ezekiel Elliott, we'll go to that. Everyone goes to Ben Roethlisberger, but, I mean, Ben Roethlisberger was in 2006,
whatever it was, yeah.
I mean, Ray Rice has happened since then. Greg Hardy has happened since then. A lot of things have happened since then. I know people want to make that an argument when they want to try to bring race into it, but I don't know that that's, you could say precedent, but I don't think typically it's wise to go 15 years deep for your precedent.
It was one case versus 24 too. I mean, the sheer number.
That's the problem, is you don't have precedent for that.
No, right.
You don't have precedent for this. So all you can do is work off of your precedent or create a new precedent. Now, what I thought was going to happen would be the NFL, the Sue Robinson would create a new precedent by saying this kind of behavior over this length of time with this amount of women who are accusing him. And once again, you have to go through all the evidence and come up. The grand jury is, I mean, the no bill is irrelevant, because no bill just means we don't know if we have enough to charge them. That doesn't mean
we don't know that we could prove it in court.
Right. That's all you have to do now is the judge has to go through and find the information believable.
I thought it was very interesting, though, that they did not use any of the – maybe though that's why he wasn't also – maybe that's why he was no-billed, was because the women who claimed that he forced himself on them, it was would be very difficult to prove.
Well,
and maybe that's why the NFL didn't use those witnesses
either.
Do you
have a rape kit, or do you have an admission, or do you have a video?
Right,
if the answer is no, it becomes hearsay.
Right. Yeah. So 4-6 – okay, so let's say it is 4-6. Sue Robinson decides that it's 4-6 games. They go on the high end, 6 games. Is that something that I don't know. I don't. How would you feel about that? I don't know
about
how,
what
about a six game suspension.
I think it's. I don't think it really is much of a deterrent. I think it's telling Deshaun, hey, what you did wasn't that bad. Once again, this is all alleged. Nothing has been proven against him. So, you know, we do have to say that. But, I mean, I'm just using my common sense. I think where there's smoke, where there's this much smoke, there's definitely a lot of fire.
The smoke was Rusty billowing.
Rusty has already admitted that Deshaun went in looking for massages and it turned into sex. So he's obviously acting in a way that tries to promote, you know, intercourse and sexual behavior.
Which is not against the law.
No, but it is if you are touching other people.
Right. If you're
touching other people, if you're forcing them to do things that they don't want to do, if you're grabbing hands and putting it places. I've always seen people on Twitter like, what's the big deal? Oh, that hurt you that bad that you are like, dude, that's such a messed up way to think of it. The real quick way is it okay if somebody did it to your daughter or your wife? And immediately people, well, that's not the same. Yeah, it is. I mean, if you wouldn't want them doing this to your daughter or your wife, then you understand it. You have to put yourself not in Deshaun's shoes, put yourself in your wife or your daughter's shoes, and you start to see it a little bit differently. I think, John, I would feel like Deshaun got over on everybody. He got over on the Texans by getting paid 20. At some point, you can't just keep having these bad behavior. Can't keep like Deshaun's
getting
that's
paid.
Bad behavior. And he got $27 million signing bonus, where it might have been a con job from the beginning, where Deshaun was always going to try to do this with his contract. Because this is after DeAndre Hopkins got traded. He signed this contract, cried on stage. I'm so happy, my family. Oh, look, there's Dabo on a Zoom. That's amazing. He took his $27 million and said, yeah, I'm not playing anymore. And here's some future lyrics. Good luck.
Yeah.
So he did that. Then he was giving, so he sat out, still got paid, got to keep his signing bonus, got a $230 million guaranteed contract with all these civil cases pending, and then a four to six game penalty with no real financial pop to it at all because he's only making $1 million guaranteed. No, I'm not sure it would be equitable, John.
No.
I don't think Deshaun's behavior and the way that he has behaved in terms of how he handled the Texans thing. I get being frustrated. I get demanding a trade. But the way everything went down, it's just left a really bad taste in my mouth for a guy that I thought that was the dude. Like, and I thought Deshaun was.
Yeah,
was,
me too.
You know what? What America thought
he was the savior of this.
What America thinks Homelander is on The Boys, where they don't know. I feel like Deshaun's turned into Homelander, where it's like you think he's one way, but it turns out he's maybe not this knight in shining armor. I don't think he is at all, based on
the way he started with it, giving the cafeteria workers his first check.
I still think that's real. I think he became a guy who became obsessed with celebrity and all the excess. That's what I think, based on talking to people who have been around him a little bit.
Yeah.
And have talked to other people and seen some of the stuff. I think Deshaun came in with the right heart.
Yeah.
I think some of them changed. You're not sure you believe that.
No, I don't believe it. I know buddies have seen him out.
Did your buddies see him out when he was a rookie in 17?
No, he didn't.
See, I think he was a different guy.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about that. From a purely selfish standpoint, I'd be a little disappointed in six games because I want the Browns to really suck.
That goes without saying.
Yeah.
That goes without saying.
Yeah. I was hoping on the year the Texans get a top three pick from the Browns along with their own, 17th pick. And you got a 3 and a 17. Because the Texans are going to possibly win 10 games this year.
So this is something that we really do need to talk about. This is a really tricky one. So this is something that had – this is something that came out, 2 days ago from Pro Football Talk and from Mike Florio, who, by the way, is a former lawyer.
Yeah.
That's where he got to start. Mike Florio said, in civil court, Browns quarterback – Deshaun Watson faces 24 accusers. In the NFL's disciplinary process, he faces only 4.
Right.
Josina Anderson of CBS Sports reported on Monday that the league's case against Watson centers only on 4 women, not 5.
And none of them were forcible.
Right.
Forcible sexual
assault.
So
what happened was, and this is a stroke of genius. Well, let me finish. The NFL originally spoke to 12 of the Watson accusers before presenting 5 cases during the disciplinary hearing that began 13 days ago. As we hear it, the decision by the league to cut to 5 from 4 may not have been voluntary. The fifth woman's claim, we're told, may have been based solely on a media report. Judge Sue Robinson, we're told, may have decided not to give that claim any evidence at all, essentially throwing it out of the case. And I'm fine with that. If you feel like it doesn't have merit, a judge's job is to act impartially and to go by the facts, and if she did not have what she felt was enough, then that's got to go. I mean, that's just how the legal system should work. So I think by number one, settling with all those women, it immediately limits the scope of the disciplinary hearings. And the way that it could go 4 to 6 is by knocking this number down and then maybe looking at some of those and saying, you know what, this isn't more egregious than this that happened that we have a suspension for. You know, I have precedence for this kind of behavior. Yeah, it's more than this happened with I'm looking at 4 cases as opposed to 1 or 2. But, you know, so I think, a nightmare for the Browns is if the NFL came back with 10 to 12 games. Because then you got to pay. Then Deshaun's contract expires this year. If nothing happens, you get to push Deshaun. If the whole year happens, you get to push the whole contract back a year.
Yep.
If 4 to 6, I think they can fade it and still make the playoffs.
Oh, yeah. 4 to 6, absolutely they can still fade it. Let's talk patios right now when we come back.
Wait, I said Browns make the playoffs. That's my bad, guys.
No, they could make the playoffs. Yeah, they absolutely could. I mean, that division's pretty tough now.
I know.
So we're losing him 4 to 6 games. I don't know. We got to look at the schedule, how many division games they have in that 4 to 6 games. But they could still make the playoffs, absolutely. Let's talk about patios. And when we come back, let's talk about Jabari Smith. He was on with Taylor Rooks and had some things to say. We'll do that on the other side.
Please don't tell me he said he's going to cook Jordan.
Yeah, he could cook Jordan, he said.
Oh, not like John Morant. Don't tell me Jabari's already saying he's cooking
Everybody
Jordan.
Who talks to Taylor
he
Rooks.
He couldn't even cook Paolo Banchero.
Well, he ain't. Well, Paolo Banchero is better than Jordan right now. Remember what wow. John Morant said on Ballsack?
He's basically goated. Okay, let's talk about Texas Custom Patios. The company who is run right now, I will admit, Steven is a Wisconsin Badgers fan. He's a Packers fan. He actually used to teach a little youth hockey at the Velodrome back in the day. I played pickup basketball against him back before he was ever doing anything having to do with Texas Custom Patios. What he is now is a guy who really had a passion for outdoor spaces, outdoor living spaces. And what I really love about his vision is that he will not stand for second-rate work. He will not stand for second-rate materials. He gets the very best workers, the best contractors, and the best materials, and he builds what you deserve. If you are going to pay your money to have an outdoor living area, an outdoor kitchen, he wants to make sure that you get exactly what it is that you paid for. He wants you to really enjoy that space so that you truly can live your best life. And the best way to do that is go to TexasCustomPatios.com. That's TexasCustomPatios.com and see for yourself what they can build. It's astonishing, the before and afters. Your house is going to look just like some of the befores that are in there. And I know that you're going to see the after and think, well, that can't be me, but that can be you. And they can finance, they can get it to where you are getting exactly what you want. You want one TV, two TVs, you want a big island there where all your friends can sit and hang out. You want a great outdoor kitchen inside your patio. Whatever you can think of, they can build for you, and they can think of way more than you can think of, and they can build it out for you. And they've done it already with thousands of projects in the bank. Go see my house right now, tcplance.com. That's tcplance.com, and check out the before and after of Texas Custom Patios.
To the Bench with John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. A couple knuckleheads, if you ask me.
Father of Houston Sports Radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Okay, so, man, Taylor Rooks. Well, she looks like Taylor Rooks. If you've never seen Taylor Rooks, Taylor Rooks is going to get NBA players' attention. She is a very pretty young lady. And she has a podcast that she has players on, and players like to be and like to talk to her. Just the other day, John Morant was on, and John Morant was saying stuff that was a little bit. He was a little disrespectful.
He was actually very respectful. He said he looks up to Jordan, emulates Jordan, and wishes he could have played there. And then she got him to say, "But you would have cooked him, right?"
Yeah,
yeah, I'd cooked him. I mean, she totally walked him into that, and that became an entire day of Jordan, and then Ballsack Sports
had a fake quote.
And then ESPN used that because they know
By the way, ESPN has apologized for that.
Well, they have to.
Yeah.
And here's what ESPN's big mistake was. They assumed that he said it on Taylor Rooks' podcast, and so they attributed it to Bleacher Report. Taylor Rooks is an American sports journalist and broadcaster. She currently appears on Bleacher Report and Turner Sports before joining Turner Sports Network. She was a host, reporter, and correspondent at Sportsnet New York. Prior to New York market, she worked for the Big Ten Network. So that's where she came from.
Yeah. I mean, she became popular at the Big Ten Network. You could see where she'd be popular. And now she's popular with NBA players. And she was popular with Jabari Smith, who was on her program. And he wanted to talk about people critiquing his ball handling skills and overreactions after just two summer league games.
Was it weird for you hearing people critique your game? You're like, that's not right. I'm actually good at this.
Yeah, it's funny. It's like, it kind of shows you what you want to showcase. But at the same time, it's like, when people talk about like my ball handling and stuff like that, like I feel like that's something that's going to come as I get older and just get stronger. But right now, it's not something that I'm finna just try to show y'all. Like, I'm not finna be out here trying to look like Steph Curry when that's not what I can do right now. Like, I'm not finna try to do that. But am I working on it? Yes. Would somebody say he needs to work on this, he needs to work on this? Like, how can you say I'm not working on it? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's like kind of thinking about that, but at the same time, doing stuff in the game I know will help my team win.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it probably doesn't feel like it in this moment, but for you being able to hear what people saying about you, whether it's your ball handling, if they're talking about your summer league performance, whatever, even things that you dealt with on draft night, I think in the long run, having that experience now really will help you because you got like an instant crash course into what it is like to be an NBA player and have all these lights on you. So in some ways, I think it was, it's going to be beneficial.
Definitely. Even like my first two summer league games, it was like they wasn't my best games, but instantly people was like, man, you know what I'm saying, saying crazy stuff. Like, it was to the point where I had to just delete my social media. Like, I can't even, like, read this. So it was like, it got to that point, and just feel like I'm glad I got to, like feel that, like, now. You know what I mean? And I feel like it didn't affect me at all, but it was just like, dang, people really saying this? Like,
yeah, so a couple things I want to get to there, John. First of all, Taylor, I want you to only play what Taylor Rook says at the very beginning. Don't even play Jabari Smith's answer. Just replay it. And I want you to listen to how she positions it, and then remember what Jabari Smith said. Listen to how she positions it.
Was it weird for you hearing people critique your game? You're like, that's not right. I'm actually good at this.
Yeah.
Okay, stop. He's not actually good at it, Taylor. You don't have to make that up to make him feel better, because Jabari Smith comes out and says, yeah, I'm working on my ball handling. It's coming. I'm actually working on that right now. He understands. This is the great thing about Jabari. Here she's trying to give him an out and say, you got people saying, but I'm actually good at this. Actually, he's not good at getting to the basket, and he's not good with ball handling. He knows that. That's one of his weaknesses. As somebody who has to do evaluations of players, players get so pissed off if you have anything that you say they need to work on, which is common knowledge amongst people who watch tape, their own coaches, general managers in the league. Everyone knows in basketball circles, because I've done a lot of stuff on Jabari Smith, especially after he got drafted. This was a common, Bruce Pearl and his son, who were on our radio stations, said the same thing.
Yeah.
They both said, he's got to get better at finishing at the rim, you know, at being more, becoming a little bit more creative off the dribble, getting better off the dribble, the ball handling, the finishing, you know, that stuff's going to come. Jabari's answer was great. He's like, I'm working on that stuff right now. This is an example of a guy who's he's kind of a throwback player who lives in today's generation, where he even told you, to Nick Kyrgios's point about what you hear from social media, he even said, man, I had to delete my social media. He didn't. I think he just meant close it out. Because all these people saying all these things about him, man, you can imagine how a 19-year-old, how that could really get in your head and kind of wreck you a little bit if you're not mentally tough. So you do have to find a way to turn that noise off. Just turn the volume off, turn the noise off, and delete it. But you can see how that gets to somebody right away. He's even admitting it right now. But he's also admitting, I'm working on my game, man. I'm a 19-year-old player who I'm trying to work on these things. I'm trying to get better. He's got that old school mentality.
Humility. That's nice.
And humility.
That's nice.
Where he's basically telling her, I'm seeing all these people saying after two summer league games that this is who I am. I love the fact that he can take that information, have good context, and he's self-aware. I love that.
Well,
that's why I feel just as confident now as when he got drafted, because he knows who he is, he knows what he needs to work on, and he's going to keep doing that.
JVG was on with the Wheelhouse Boys yesterday, and they asked him about Jabari. Here's JVG on his thoughts on Jabari Smith.
I tell you, the thing I like the most about him, size, shooting, and he has a natural intensity and energy, and I think that's incredibly important as you go from a very short season in college basketball, you know, middle 30 type games, all the way up to 82. And if you become a playoff team, you know, you can approach with preseason, you can get to 100, 110. And I think that natural intensity and energy is impressive. I've liked what I've seen so far.
And then this is the question. This is the bajillion-dollar question for the Rockets. How are you going to win when you're so young? And no NBA coach wants 8 first and second year players on their roster. I mean, you, how are you going to win? Here's Jeff Van Gundy on the challenges with a young group.
I think the first thing is to build a team camaraderie and spirit through the sacrifice necessary to help everybody play their very best. You know, it's all these young players, and rightfully so, are trying to carve out a place in the NBA. And when that happens, you can sometimes make poor decisions because you're trying to self-will yourself to playing well. And I think when there's so many players at a similar stage, that it can be a challenge for them to give of themselves to the team and to each other.
Jeff Van Gundy on the Wheelhouse Boys, getting our guy. That's our guy, Jeff Van Gundy. Did they credit us for Jeff Van Gundy being on their show?
No, I don't think they gave us any credit for him being on their show.
No.
Well, I don't recall. Did you help them get on?
No, we didn't. I didn't help them get on.
I'm not sure which credit you're looking for, but we had him for years,
yeah,
so we should have gotten credit for that.
We should get credit. Oh, we stole Jeff Van Gundy from the morning show, and here he is with us here. That's how they should have introduced him.
I got a so one of the things that Jeff said is exactly how I feel. If you can build that common experience and that common bond where it's that shared experience of coming up together and grinding together and going through the hard times and the successful times it's a shared vision and shared goal. That's how Golden State did it. They had shared vision, shared goal, and the right guys on the roster. That's what you're hoping for. And that's why Jabari's so important, because he has that humility. You need some of those guys in the locker room. It's fine to have the swag, and it's fine to have all that other stuff. As long as you have enough guys in there who love being around each other, love being part of a team, and are all, like, their focus is winning at a high level. That's one of the things that drives them. Doesn't mean you can't have fun. Doesn't mean that you can't go to parties. Doesn't mean you can't live your best life. But because I promise you Jordan did. But you just want one or two guys in that locker room with stroke who it really means a lot to them to win. Like, it really hurts when they lose.
Yeah. David says, great job by Smith on being honest. Now, can y'all provide your shortcomings for us? Yeah.
Yeah, injury
sometimes,
prone.
Sometimes I'm too generous, okay? Sometimes I'm
Tell me how that's gotten you in some... tell me how that's been an issue.
Oh, it has been. It's been a real issue, because then people, you know, I mean, and more and more, and people want more and more, and I just can't. I give, but sometimes I don't have enough time to give to everybody, so it's a problem. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So that's a problem. You know... maybe sometimes I'll say something that I feel is appropriate, but some people might think it's not appropriate. So, I mean, that's probably.
RJ, in the short time that you've been with us, have you found that to be the case, that John's appropriate? Like, do you ever sit there behind the glass and say, ooh, Rick,
that's
Balloon,
appropriate.
Rick Balloon ever said things like this?
All the time.
Yeah.
All right. Well. Okay, so there's a rent.
I did too, and I sit here at this table.
Yeah. So anyway, there's my shortcomings. Anyway, there, David.
Are you done? Is that it? Are you done?
I think. All right. That's okay.
That's fair.
I think I'm done. But okay, so speaking of shortcomings,
it's 8:00.
A New York radio host went nuts. We'll play it on the other side, right here on ESPN 97.5. and 92.5, and then we'll have some questions for this show, right, RJ? Then we'll have a couple of questions for
I don't want to play this game.
This show.
I already know I don't want to play this.
So I want to talk right now about Absolute Marble and Granite and Jeff Aronoff and what he does for you, what he does for your business. And we talk about the residents all the time, but let's talk about the businesses as well. If you are somebody that is you've got a business and you need to remodel and you want to put in an outdoor patio for your I don't know, whether you have a bar, do you have a restaurant, whatever the case may be, you need to make it really nice. You need to cover it. You need to build an outdoor patio. That's it. You got it. Jeff Aronoff is here for you. And he does this all the time. Residential, commercial, it doesn't matter. Dude puts in all of the countertops for hotels or vanities for hotels. It's what he does. He does it all over the country. You're looking for the best way to get to improve whatever it is that you have, be it the bathrooms, the kitchens, the patios, whatever it is. Jeff Aronoff can do it, and he's going to do it great for you. All you got to do is give him a call, 713-880-2822, 713-880-2822. It's absolute marble and granite.
ESPN 97.5.